Hello, I'm Charles Commons, and this is Speaking of Next Gen Privileged Access, brought to you by One Identity. Over the course of this six-part podcast series, along with a range of experts from the world of cybersecurity, I'm going to be exploring the world of privileged access management and looking ahead to what the future holds. The aim of this podcast series is to get you thinking about PAM and how secure your organization is. More information on the subjects discussed in each episode are available through the show notes of the podcast. Before I introduce the people you'll be hearing from in this episode, I took a look around the internet myself to see what I could find out about PAM. And almost immediately, I found this advert from One Identity.
Privileged accounts serve an important purpose in any organization because they let designated users perform important administrator-level tasks. In a perfect world, there'd be very few of these users, and all of them would remain trusted employees who carefully guard the keys to the kingdom. In reality, though, diverse IT environments and the specialized nature of many administrative tasks have caused an explosion in the number of users that need access to privileged accounts. Until what used to be an exclusive club can now seem more like a music festival.
Now that's a pretty good advert from One Identity there. However, it still left me, the layman, with a few unanswered questions. So I got Ian Stimpson and Zoltan Bakos in the room to help me learn a little bit more about what PAM actually is.
PAM is Privileged Access Management, but it's also referred to as Privileged Identity Management or Privileged Access Management.
Privileged account management, privileged access management, sometimes it's even named different like PIM, PAM, PUM.
In a nutshell, it's about providing control around what I would call the God account, the admin account or the root account to a system. It's that account that can cause damage if it's given to the wrong person or the wrong person gains access to those credentials, they can do real serious damage to an organization.
Okay, so that makes sense. PAM is essentially the management of a super user who has access to anything and everything within an organization. But I still don't quite see how that fits in with the day-to-day running of an organization. Here's Zoltan Bakos.
Think of the marketing team who can post devastating messages on the company's Facebook account. A good PAM strategy comes down to two things. First, it ensures that the right people have the right access at the right time, which they need to perform their work. And it helps you answer the five W's. Who did what, where, when, and why, without any doubt left.
Ian Stimpson.
How a business uses privileged access management, to a degree, depends on what their priorities are and if they're being driven via mandates or just to improve their security posture. So, you know, from that area, there's different use cases from my experience discussing with clients and organizations. One of which, there's a bank, and they really had a couple of challenges or two or three main challenges around how they could find a better way to manage their privileged accounts with accountability. They was looking at, well, how do they improve the what we call traceability? How do they know what's really going on and record what the users are actually doing? So again, it's about adhering to these standards. The third challenge they had was, how do they protect those and make sure they're only giving out securely to users that should have that access?
The bank Ian is talking about there is Investors Bank, by the way. One of the things I hear in boardrooms across the world is the notion of we are safe and we are secure. But as Zoltan explains, no one is safe.
Just imagine what happens if one of your IT admins gets a bad performance review. He might want to take it out on the company and delete sensitive data or destroy important systems. It's also a false assumption to only look at the IT team. Only look at the internal admins. A lot of attacks and a lot of risks are coming from there, but let's not forget about the work student who is moving from department to department, and often, as a bad practice, he just writes new privileges without the old ones being revoked, and he ends up being with way more access than he needs. Or the CEO of the company, who wants to access everything just because he's the CEO of the company, he also poses a big risk, and also as a close second to these risky users. Organizations also often tend to overlook the problem of third parties accessing your IT environment, because you don't have anything in place to vet them, to check them, as you do with your own employees. Yet, at the same time, you need to give them access to your most critical crown jewels to do their work, to perform their service contract. And that's also quite often overlooked.
So far, so obvious, right? Well, considering the amount of breaches that get reported each week, maybe not. Back in 2016, Uber announced that 57 million users' data, including phone numbers, email addresses, and even names, were stolen by hackers.
You mentioned Uber. They were subject to a hack where privileged credentials were used to access their sensitive data stored on their GitHub account. And they stole like 600,000 drivers' sensitive private data. Those credentials should have never been A, on GitHub, and B, their CISO took a really bad approach. He tried to bribe the hackers to keep their mouth shut, and then he tried to wishwash it away as a bug bounty fee, which obviously wasn't the case here. And as you know, words still get out.
The 2020 Data Breach Investigations report from Verizon highlighted that 52% of all PAM breaches occur from hacking, and 71% are financially motivated. Here's Ian Stimpson with an explanation as to why that is.
When you look at breaching and hacking, kind of going back through the years, you'd have what we call a script kiddie, someone that's just kind of trying to get into an organization. You've then got the political hacktivists, and then you've got the nation states. But when you're kind of looking at the financial aspect, what we're seeing is the criminal gangs are really looking at this as a way of, you know, financial reward. If you look at, I think it was last year, the Guardian newspaper in the UK reported that, you know, £130 billion was stolen from consumers. I mean, that's on the consumer side. But then, you know, a few months ago, I think it's October, November time, CNBC reported that the cost to small businesses was $200,000 on average. So, you know, the financial sums that these bad actors, these criminal gangs can get from an organisation is really why we're seeing that, you know, the breaches from hacking due to financially motivations has gone up to 71%, as you rightly mentioned there.
Every week there's a new kid in town who's a victim of bad security practices and makes the headlines because they got breached, they lost data, it turned out that they didn't secure sensitive information of their users in the way it should be secured. And it shows that even in times where GDPR and other regulations are in place, even that's not enough to make every security decision maker, every executive think in the right way about security in their own organization, because everyone thinks they're not vulnerable, that they are the exception. Sadly, that's not the case.
Zoltan Bakos with a pretty stark warning for all of us there. So what choice is there for people to consider in the present day market?
The most important thing is to try to find a vendor whose products can help you to solve the most burning needs of your PAM and security strategy, at the same time, which also play nicely with the rest of your security environment.
I personally believe that organizations, they firstly look at their key business drivers, you know, and how a solution will solve this for them. But they need to consider a framework for the future. And the organizations really need to look at a next generation privileged access management solution. It needs to deliver on the business requirements today, look at those standards we talked around, adherence to this, but then also give them as an organization a strategy to empower the business to be more agile and also improve their security posture.
Look at approaches which enable your users to work as much as possible without additional interruptions, while at the same time maintaining the secure way of working with your privileged accounts.
For more information, download the Tech Brief, learn 5 reasons to invest in next-gen privileged access management. You'll find the link to that in the show notes of this podcast. Next time, I'm speaking with Zoltan Bakos about the differences between traditional and next generation privileged access management. Join me then.